Cape Talk. Call Pippa now on 021-446-0567.
We've heard my story of an extraordinary act of extreme kindness. Today I want to introduce you on the virtual couch to somebody who is a collector of such stories, I guess you could call it. In fact, she's been doing it for the last 18 months, specifically under lockdown, because she's recognized the power of these kinds of stories. Her name is Dr. Jess Auerbach, and she's a lecturer in anthropology at the University of the Northwest. And at the start of the hard lockdown last year, Jess noticed how ordinary South Africans all over the country were stepping up to help and support those who had been worst affected by lockdown. And she decided to do more than just notice it. She is, after all, an anthropologist. She decided to collect and document these stories and turned it into a bit of a project for her students at Northwest University to work on. Now, what started as a class assignment has grown into a fully fledged book of stories of kindness, which has just been published. It's called The Archive of Kindness, and it's a great pleasure to have Jess with us on the line today to tell us a little bit more about this wonderful subject before we hear some more of your stories of acts of kindness. Jess, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Pippa. It's great to be here.
Now, initially, this was an assignment you set your students. What did you ask them to do, Jess?
Right, so it was a little project, as you say, that I'd started independently beforehand, and I actually got hired at Northwest University in the middle of the lockdown. I'd never even visited any of the three campuses.
Okay.
And we were in that moment where we had to really rethink what we were going to do for assessment for our students, because, of course, nobody could write exams.
Yeah.
So we had to come up with interesting projects for them and ways of making sure that they were learning. And I realized that there was just a lot of negativity in my classrooms, you know, for understandable reasons. And I decided that the impact that this archive project had already had on me, just getting members of the public, all sorts of people to send in positive stories of the ways in which people were holding one another up, had been quite significant. And so I decided that these were graphic design students and they needed to learn about power in the media. And I said to them, instead of doing an exam for 50% of your mark, you each have to collect 50 stories of kindness from around the country. Wow. And we did a bunch of work on interviewing and informed consent and the ways in which you learn to listen and tell other stories, and also about the power of images. And then the students were set to go and find stories of kindness. And it was just a remarkable project to see the impact that it had on these young people. One said he wasn't going to immigrate anymore. Many others said that it completely restored their faith in the country. And just recognizing that it's so easy to get kind of caught up in the political drama and the sort of rhetoric of the pandemic. But
yeah,
on the ground, people are actually helping each other in really remarkable and profound ways.
I mean, it's goosebump stuff, Jess, to hear that response. And the reading of it must have been so incredibly uplifting for you personally. As you said, this was a response to the cycle of negativity, and there was a lot to be concerned about and anxious about and sad about.
Mm-hmm.
But you've created a collection of things that remind us to keep looking up and keep looking forward in the midst of all that sadness. Can you give us an example of the kind of stories that were shared with you? Maybe just one or two of them, Jess?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, I mean, so in the end, we had more than 2,000 stories. And for the book, what we actually did was we got a bunch of people who'd been really involved in the pandemic response to each choose their favorite of a shortlist. So there are now 50 stories published in the book, and we're hoping that the archive will continue to grow. So of those 50 stories, I mean, one that stands out was somebody who said, well, I don't have many resources to give to people in terms of money, but what I'm going to do is make my Wi-Fi code open, my Wi-Fi access point open, so that everybody who needs to can communicate with their families in my area. There was a little girl who made cards for people in hospital because she'd been in hospital herself, and she was so worried that people who were having to undergo procedures weren't able to be visited.
Sure.
That was really beautiful. Other lovely stories of plants being taken care for in student gardens. One of my students actually herself had set up a garden in Potchefstroom and was really sad that she was going to have to leave it and come home to kind of find it all dried up. And one of the neighbors in the complex had watered it and really helped it flourish. And then, of course, there's a lot of stories of people giving small amounts, huge amounts of their income. In many cases, there was a domestic worker in Joburg who gave more than half her salary.
Wow.
Just recognizing that people needed support in really profound ways. And that went to, I think it was something like 30 Checkers vouchers that she then sent through to people in the community. Lots of stuff from the community action networks as well.
Yeah.
people hosting others in their homes, paying their electricity bills, looking after kids, a lot of stuff around children, and just like almost every domain of life. It's been incredibly interesting and profound to see how people saw need and then responded all around the country.
I mean, Jess, we need this so much. We need to remind ourselves that this kindness is actually inherent in many, many people. We need it more than ever at a time like this. I love the fact that you've taken those and taken them offline now and put at least some of them into book form. Tell us a little bit about the process of producing the book.
Thanks. Yeah, so the book's been so beautiful to work on. I was really lucky that I met up with an independent publisher quite early who really saw the potential of this project. Because once I had the student evaluations from the course, you know, they all write their little reports on how they found the course, and just realizing what an impact it had on them and on me and other people close to me who I'd shared the project with, I just thought, yo, we have to do something with this. And BK Publishing understood quite quickly what it was, and we were lucky then to get a grant that allowed us to put out a call for illustrators, because we realized that the stories themselves are powerful, but obviously it helps if they can be brought to life through images. But it wasn't a huge grant, so we realized we could only afford an emerging artist, which was just the pragmatics of it. But we sent out a call, and we wanted it to be a way that somebody who had just recently graduated from an art degree could launch a career, get a whole bunch of exposure and experience, and we got about 50 portfolios in from around the country, and some of them were really remarkable. And we selected a young man called Jethro Longwe, who had just finished during lockdown at the Ruth Prowse School of Art in Cape Town. And he has done the most remarkable illustrations for this book. It's been such a joy to work with him. It's his first major project out of art school. And he actually went back to Malawi, which is where he's from, and he's coming to South Africa for the next 3 weeks to spend some time promoting the book. And hopefully we're looking for some locations to set up some pop-up exhibitions of his prints, because his work is absolutely stunning. And it's just brought the book, brought all these other dimensions to the text, and he himself has said it's really also restored his faith and been a very moving experience for him as well. So that's been a beautiful process to do.
Really lovely story. Now, Jess, let's talk about where to find the book, how much it costs, and you're also doing something quite special with the proceeds of the book. So it's available now in softcover already, is that correct?
Yeah, so it's literally being printed kind of as we speak. I think the first batch is done, and it's being distributed all over the country to bookstores nationwide. It may take some time to get into every bookstore, so we do ask that people just request the book, and the orders are being placed and couriered literally as we speak. It is hot off the press.
Okay.
But it can also be ordered directly from the publisher at sales@bkpublishing.co.za.
sales@bkpublishing.co.za. And the pricing is R375 for the softcover version. I understand there's a hardcover still to follow. Is that correct?
There is a hardcover, and that one will be a little bit more expensive, and it'll also have all kinds of glossy images and, you know, shiny print. It's a sort of beautiful Christmas gift for those who like art objects. But we will be donating certain copies of the book and really hoping that it can be as widely accessible as possible. And interestingly, it's been picked up by other universities all around the world who now want to do similar projects with their students, which has been quite interesting to
see.
That
is fantastic.
And we're hoping it actually has a global imprint as well.
You've started a movement, Jess. That's fantastic. Now, I also just want to mention, we were talking to an art student on the show just yesterday, and they mentioned to us the ongoing challenge of covering the cost of their art materials every single month. You're actually giving a donation to exactly that cause from a portion of all sales, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. So we spoke quite a lot internally with publisher and then also with artists. This is not something that we're doing to make money. We really want to use it as a way, partly just to support the arts and partly to support emerging artists. And when we reflected together, we realized, you know, people can get scholarships to study, but the most difficult thing is often the cost of materials in art schools, because things like paints and canvases and sculpture materials and so on are really, really expensive. So it was actually Jethro's idea and request, supported by the Ruth Prowse School of Art. And they have asked that we set up a fund and a portion of all profits. We're not. Yeah. There's always in book publishing, you never know whether profits is a real word or not. But we're really hoping that the book sells, and we would like it to sell enough that we can really make a significant donation to the Materials Fund at the Ruth Prouse School of Art.
Fantastic, Jess. Is the project ongoing? Will it continue? Will you continue taking more stories if people have more of them to share?
Definitely. So what we'd like to do now is have members of the public submit stories through the website. We are building the website as we speak, because of course university term continues and other courses are now well underway.
Yeah.
So in the next couple of weeks everything will be up and running, but in the meantime members of the public are welcome to email me their stories, and we'll be recording these. And you know, we don't know, we had no idea where this project would lead when we started it or when I started it, and I'm pretty confident that there will be many phases of this. And I think now we'd really like to start developing a kind of inclusive archive of anybody is welcome to send those stories. We'll add them to the original 2000. And I really, they can be in any South African language. They can be in French. They can be in Portuguese. They can be audio clips. They can be films. Now, I think it's rich to have as wide a diversity as possible. And in that original series of stories, we had a child as young as 3 sending in a story and an individual who was 89. So that was kind of the breadth that we were already getting. And we would love to expand that and continue to build on it.
Jess Auerberger, thank you so much for chatting to us today, and thank you for getting this beautiful ball rolling. Jess, the founder of the Archive of Kindness. So if you want to visit the website, it is archiveofkindness.co.za to order a copy of the book Archive of Kindness. You can either follow the links from that page or email sales@bkpublishing.co.za.
Cape Talk. WhatsApp Pippa
on 072-567-1567.
Hello Pippa, this is Rose in Fishhook. I've just listened to that lovely story of the guy who helped your parents, and I thought I must just call in to you. I've just had an amazing experience today as well. I had some printing done at a printing place in Fishhook yesterday, and I was running around and didn't even realize that I'd lost the memory stick that I'd used. And this memory stick has very valuable information on it. A lady called me just now. Her name is Jocelyn. She's from Fishhook, I presume, saying that she had picked up the memory stick in the street yesterday. And that I'm saying that she'd gone to all the trouble to check the memory stick, find out who it belonged to, which was me, and then to contact me. So what another angel. I get so frustrated with nasty people, but there are some really, really good folk around. So thank you, Jocelyn, and I will collect my memory stick a little bit later this afternoon. Thank you, Pippa.
Thank you, Rose, and well done. Thank you, Jocelyn. I hope perhaps Jocelyn might be listening to hear that call this afternoon.